man, my life has changed. You know, that God has put a new nature within me. And once again, you know, not that everybody has to have that life-changing. You know, we talk about two types of testimonies. You can have a life-changing testimony, or maybe you got a shelter testimony. Maybe you grew up in the church, and you know, you weren't out there in the world. Your testimony is just as valid and just as important as that person who was out there in the world, out there in sin. Your testimony is just as powerful, just as effective as the person who was out there.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Seven Wonders of the Word. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Seven Wonders of the Word.
The wonder of adoption. The wonder of adoption. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that receive his name. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 says that we have been adopted into the family of God. Well, now, in order to be adopted into the family, that means at some point you weren't in the family. Well, whose family were you in? Well, Jesus told the Pharisees that you are of your father, the devil. So we got into a big conversation in my class on Thursday night about what happens to babies when they die. And once again, without trying to be too controversial or without trying to get into a deep theological treatise, I just want to say this, that I believe, and I can't right now, I don't have any definitive scripture. I got some scriptures that I can refer you to. I don't have any definitive scripture, but I believe that God makes provision for children that die before they accept Christ. If they, you know, if they haven't come to that place of the awareness of who they are. I believe that God makes, I don't necessarily have a text for that. I mean, I got some pseudo texts I can go to and show you. But as far as a scripture that says all children go to heaven when they die, I can't find it yet. But I believe that God has made a way. And for the rest, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're in the devil's family. Now, you don't want to hear that. I know people don't want to hear that today. Well, you don't understand. Look, I belong to the mooses and the gooses and the rats and the mice. And, you know, that don't make any difference. Don't make any difference what clubs you belong to or what groups you belong to. You know, you can be Baptist. So I'm Baptist. Well, I tell people I'm Baptist born and I'm Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. But you know what? That don't get me in. That don't get me in. You can be baptized, capsized, and sermonized. That don't get you in. There's only one thing that'll get you in, and that is to know Jesus Christ and be adopted into the family of God. That's the only way that you're going to get in. And other than that, sad to say, you're a child of the devil. You're in the devil's family. No matter how good you do, no matter how many good works you do, you are in the devil's family. And there's only one way that you're going to get into God's family, and that's through Jesus Christ. And to think that God would take me, send Jesus to take me out of that family that I was in before and place me into his family and allow me not only to be an heir, but the scripture says in Romans chapter 8 to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Man, you know, it's just like I was saying the other week. Man, God is good. Now, how good is God? The fact that God would call us into service, equip us for service, give us what we need to serve him, and then reward us for doing it. Whoa, man! And then reward us for doing it. That's a wonder, man. Come behold the wonder. And that he will reward us for doing it. The adoption. The wonder of remission. And that is that our sins have been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. The wonder of remission. The blood of bulls and goats, says Hebrews chapter 9, could not take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, and I deal with folks sometimes, and as a matter of fact, Paul dealt with the Romans on this same issue, and I've dealt with folk on this issue. Well, if we have grace and we have been forgiven because when we sin, and the more we sin, the more grace God shows us, so let's keep on sinning so we can get more grace. Now, you know how stupid that sounds? Now, there ought to be somewhere along the line that we say, man, God, I'm so appreciative to you for what you have done that I'm going to live my life every way that I can to please you, and I'm going to on my own, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to try to reduce the sin in my life. We can't become sinless. Yeah, but y'all know it. Y'all know it. But we can sin less. Amen. We can sin less. But in spite of the fact whether we sin or not sin, it's good to know that they're all under the blood. They've all been washed away by the blood. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. The Bible says that he has, as far as the east is from the west, so he has removed our sins from us. And I always say, well, how come he didn't say the north and the south? Well, because if you go north long enough, you're going to hit the top and you're going to start going south. If you go south long enough, you're going to hit the bottom and you're going to start going north. But as long as you go east, you're always going east. East and west will never meet. And so God said, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your sins from you. He said, I've placed your sins in the middle of my back. And he said, I can't see them anymore. And what a blessing it is to know that our sins have been forgiven. That's a wonder to me. That's a wonder. And once again, that's not a license to go out and sin. That's not a license to go out and sin. And see, that's where people start getting this thing all confused. That's where they get it messed up, because they think that is teaching when you say that God has forgiven sin. Well, that's teaching the folk that they can do anything they want to do. You know what? If you love God, if you love the Lord, you know you're going to think like that. Amen. You know, the only person that's going to think like that is a twisted Christian-minded person, if there is such a thing. That's the only person that's going, what? Who in the world is going to think that like that? To say, well, you know what? You're just giving people a license. If you tell them that their sins are washed away, if you tell them that their sins are forgiven, you're just letting them know that it's all right to go ahead and sin. Well, see, now once again, I got to question your motive. I got to question where you come from. For you to even say something like that, I got to question where you coming from. Because if you love the Lord, if you love God, it don't make any difference. You know, because you want to do the best that you can. Amen. To serve him. That's my goal. You know, my goal is an audience of one. You know, when I get before him, I want to hear God say, well done. Amen. And so I'm going to try to do my best to sin less. Amen. So that I might hear those words, well done. The wonder of remission, the wonder of reconciliation. That, but since we're right there, if you're still there in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That God has reconciled us to himself. That what was lost in Adam, that Adam lost it, that in the cool of the garden, that God approached Adam after he had sinned, and Adam had hid himself with fig leaves and tried to cover himself up. And there was that separation between God and the first Adam. The second Adam has come, and he has built a bridge between the two so that all we have to do is walk across the cross, and we can be reconciled to God. Man, what a blessing it is to know that God is not mad at me. You know, some folk think that God is mad at them. You know, husbands and wives, you know, when you get upset with each other, you know the feeling that's there. You know, don't want to be around the person. Stay in the other room. Might find reason not to come home. You know, all these things, all these issues. Why? Because you're not reconciled. Because you're not reconciled. And you know what? There's a feeling that's in the pit of your stomach that, you know, no matter where you at, you know, you can be downtown watching a movie. You can be at the mall shopping. You can be sometimes in church. But you know what? If you know that if things are not right between you and your spouse, that there's something inside of you that won't let you be totally at peace. There's something that causes a little queasiness, a little uneasiness down inside of you. You might be able to walk and make and think like everything is all right, but you know the truth. You know that there's something going on down inside. Oh, but when somebody says, look, baby, I'm so sorry. When somebody breaks down from their pride, when somebody comes down off of that pride and says, even though it wasn't my fault. When somebody breaks down, you know what? Look. Maybe some of y'all young people don't know this, but you know what reconciliation is like. You know what? Not only is it a good thing, but you know what it feels like. That's a wonderful feeling to be reconciled again. You know, folk that are walking around, you know, I've shared my testimony before that when I got saved, Pastor Berkeley, who pastors a church over in Braddock, man, I just was carrying the weight of the world around on my shoulder, man. I mean, I had got to the point where, and I'm going to be honest with you, getting high wasn't even fun anymore. It just wasn't fun. I mean, there was a time that I thought it was fun and I thought I was enjoying, but I just didn't do it anymore. And I remember going to church with Pastor Berkeley that night and hearing that invitation preached at a little church over there on the east side of Pittsburgh in Turtle Creek. And the preacher preached the message. It was a Sunday night, storming and raining outside. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord was speaking to my heart. And it was primarily a white church. And me and him were the only African-Americans there. And coming out of the mindset and the background I had came out of, and the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart, telling me that I needed to go forward. The pastor was calling. You know, the first thing that came to my mind, Satan said, you don't want to go up here in front of all these white people. That was the first thing he said. And I sat there because I wasn't going. And I looked up, and Pastor Berkeley, man, he was just smiling. He was looking at me smiling. You know, he wasn't Pastor Berkeley then. He was just a good friend of mine. And it just seemed like something in his smile just got me up out of my seat. And I went forward. And that night, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And let me say this, that with all that burden and stuff, and it was thundering and lightning outside. It was pouring down raining outside. But when I stepped out there, man, it was just like noonday. Because I didn't know what that was at first. And I'm not saying that everybody has to experience a feeling, so don't get me wrong. You know, I can't make you, I can't get a rubber stamp on my salvation experience and say that everybody got to do it that way. I'm just saying for me, that when I stepped outside, it just seemed like my whole world had lit up. And it just seemed like that burden that I was carrying was just lifted off. And I didn't understand that at first. I didn't understand what was going on. But you know, the other thing I realized as I began to study the scripture, I realized that for many years, I had been fighting with God. I had been fighting with God. God had been working with me. God had been speaking to me. I had been running. You know, there were opportunities that I had when the gospel was being shared that I was running. I wasn't open to receive. I was fighting with God. And at that point, and like I said, I didn't understand that right then, but as I began to study, God and I was reconciled. Just like that husband and wife who were at odds with each other. And the tension and the struggle was there. And then all of a sudden they come together and they're reconciled. Man, I was reconciled with God that night. Man, you don't know the feeling that came over me to know that thing, that wall, that enmity that was between me and God was torn down. I'm talking about wonders. Come and behold the wonders of God, the wonder of reconciliation. The wonder of substitution, the wonder of justification, the wonder of adoption, the wonder of remission, the wonder of reconciliation, the wonder of regeneration. We are right there. We are right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Regeneration. That as the songwriter said, I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. That's regeneration. Somebody said, well, you know, you see that bum over there? Socialism can put a new suit on that bum. You see that bum over there? Jesus Christ can put a new man in them clothes. You know, that's the gospel message. That there's been a change in the life. Folk that know me, they used to get me high just so I could quote Richard Pryor. I had memorized all Richard Pryor's albums. And I'm going to let me take some of y'all back. I had memorized Dolomite, word for word, The Signifying Monkey, word for word. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. See, Chris Rock didn't have anything on Rudy Ray Moore. Nothing. And you know what? Every other word out of my mouth. Every other word out of my mouth. Ask my wife. We were dating. Every word out of my mouth. When I got saved, one of the first things that God cleaned up on me was my lips. That's one of the first things that God, now that's why, you know, I get a little nervous when folk come to Bethany that knew me when. And they look back and say, yeah, I went to school with Bunny. As soon as they say that, I'm like, oh. Where are we going with that, you know? That's why sometimes, you know, if I see somebody out there that I know, man, I'll go back in the back and wait, man. No, but I know that God, you know, God is not condemning me, so I praise the Lord for that. But, you know, my point is that I stand back and wonder. Yeah, I was reading an article one time, and it really spoke to my heart. It said that sometimes what we need to do, and this just blew me away, what we need to do is look back over our lives. And, you know, we've made a lot of bad decisions in our lives. But one of the things it said, look back over your life, and for every good decision that you made, and this blew me away, it said go back and thank that person for making that decision. Wow. Go back and thank yourself for making that decision that made your life a lot better right now. And you know what? As I look at my life, I can see about three landmarks in my life that were just times in my life when my life just completely turned around. It was headed in one direction and it went in another direction. And that night that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was one of those landmarks. My life completely turned around. And when I read that, you know what? I went back, and somebody, y'all might think this is crazy, but it helped me. I went back and thought about that person who I was in my early 20s and thought back to, you know, what must have been my attitudes, what must have been my mindset, what must have been the temptations and pressures in my life. And, you know, I didn't have to go back because that was only about 5 years ago. Why are you laughing, Russell? All right. But, you know, I thought about that. And you know what I did? I just went back and I thank Bill Glaze. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for making that decision. Because that wise decision that you made then is partially responsible for where you're at as an individual today. And you know all I was doing? The wonder of regeneration. Just thinking. Wow, man, my life has changed. You know, that God has put a new nature within me. And once again, you know, not that everybody has to have that life-changing. You know, we talk about two types of testimonies. You can have a life-changing testimony, or maybe you got a shelter testimony. Maybe you grew up in the church, and you know, you weren't out there in the world. Your testimony is just as valid and just as important as that person who was out there in the world, out there in sin. Your testimony is just as powerful, just as effective as the person who was out there. So don't think any less. Well, you know, I don't have, some people say, well, I really don't have that kind of testimony. Am I really? Yeah, you saved. Thank God. You know what? Thank God for that person who made that decision early on. Amen. To keep you from off that road. Amen. Well, you might have to go, thank your parents. You know, thank somebody. Amen. That you didn't even have to go that way. That you didn't have to experience that. Man, I look at, to me, you know, those were wasted years of my life. And now, as I have sometimes, you know, draw a blank when I'm trying to remember something. I wonder if I didn't burn out some brain cells back then. You know, I'm trying to think about, man, you know, unbelievable. I went downtown. Let me share. I went downtown last week to this function. They had all these pastors went down there to the Hilton. They had about 12 pastors. You know, John Guest, and I felt I was in good company. Jay Passavant, you know, big guy. And I'm sitting right at the table with him. And the guy said, you know, come on down and, you know, go to the Hilton. And, you know, we're going to take care of everything. You know, everything will be taken care of. I go down there, you know, says, we'll take care of the parking too. You know, I went, parked my car, went to the meeting. We sitting there. They gave us all these slips for our parking. They said, just take that and show it, you know, and everything will be all right. I go. And I take my slip over to the garage and look and say, no, where are you going to put this slip? This slip don't fit in the machine. Where does it go? And so I'm trying to figure out, the slip don't go anywhere. And I said, well, let me go to the office. I went over to the office. I asked the lady. I said, you know, they gave me this slip over here for parking. You know, what do I got to do? And she looked and she said, oh, she said, that's valet parking. You know, you were supposed to pull up right in front of the Hilton and get your... And I said, you know what? I wish they'd have told me that before I came down here, because when I went to the machine, I was down there for an hour and a half and had to pay $17. I was upset. I said, look, I'm going to call the guy at work, the station manager at work. I said, I'm going to call him and say, man, you know, you should have told us that what we need to do. And something said, look, why don't you go back and read the letter? In the letter, it said, pull your car up in front of the Hilton. The valet will take it. I said, man, Lord, what's wrong with me? I said, oh, God. I said, what's wrong, man? I said, I can't believe I didn't see that. All the rest of these pastors, man, they pull right up in front of the spot. I'm resting down there, worried about riding around 3 or 4 times, looking for a spot, first level, second level, all around. All I had to do was pull right up in front of the joint, and somebody would have took my car. That's why I say, you know, sometimes, man, them brain cells, some of them cells not firing right. But thank God for regeneration, you know, that... The outward man might be perishing, but the inward man can be renewed day by day. Wonders. I'm talking about wonders today. My soul looks back and wonder. And then let me finish with this one, the wonder of perseverance. And that is the fact that God saved us and God will keep us saved. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said that you were in the Father's hands and nobody can pluck you out. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, it says that you shall never be separated from the love of God. I look at that. That's a wonder. You know, come and behold the wonder. Look at the wonder. Because truly, as Job said, God has done marvelous things. And we need to sit back and wonder. The 7 wonders of the world.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Real Christmas Lights. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, 7 Wonders of the Word, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request 7 Wonders of the Word. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request 7 Wonders of the Word. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.